Studentradion 98,9 presenterar Out of Time med Pedro Hagenstam och musik av Timberly. And the door slides open slowly but surely. And inside is my father's grave. Now, more importantly, next to his grave is a box. I open the box and I see a book. Now, I mentioned that having two of the same wares within the same context or time is rare. I have never had to deal with three at the same time. They are objects, but they are not inanimate. They are not from here either. Somewhere is a book that you must not open unless in emergencies. And considering the fact that I will die soon, or in the future, I consider myself to be in an emergency. I know a woman who knows more about these things than anyone else. She gave me somewhere because she couldn't keep track of it. I put it in a box, in a mausoleum, and it hasn't moved since. I'm not sure what she meant. Couldn't keep track of it. But it is here now, in my hands. And the timepiece is in my pocket. But if anywhere puts you anywhere you could be, and often anywhere you want to be, somewhere puts you anywhere you could be, or rather, somewhere you could be at some point in time, regardless of whether something is already there, if it's in space, if it's now or from 10,000 years from now when the Earth is barren. Once it took me to a party in the Hamptons. It is my way out of then and there. That's all I know. That's what I'm going to use it for. I'm starting to see how this ends. I put the book. It's just a notebook. Into the pocket of my coat. Then I sling the coat back over my shoulder and close the box. And I am officially lost. The best thing to do now is probably to keep doing what I normally do. Eventually, I will run into something strange, and I can pick it up from there. So, I think about the times in history and places in the world that I have yet to visit. I have not been to America yet. I've only heard bad things about America, but to be fair, it would seem that the 18th century Brits have a bias. I have yet to see Niagara Falls. I want to see the Yellow Turban Rebellion. Oh, I realized. I have yet to eat. street food is a wonderfully relatable thing. It is anonymous. It is quick. It is often a very amicable experience. And it's greasy. I have a timepiece that could kill me at any given moment. There's a book in my pocket that could trap me in the Mariana Trench if I were to open it. And somewhere there is a door around me, waiting to take me wherever I want to go. I hear something. No. No. Hearing comes from outside. This is inside of my head. I dare not look back. But I feel something wrong looking at me. Okay. The shawarma is good. Even as I'm walking, I can't shake that feeling. And then I see it. Lying in a gutter is a naked stray dog. It must have died not long ago. It was clearly sick, hair falling off in many places. But most troubling of all is a gash. No, nothing pierced the skin. It's more like a burn mark. A gray one running from its shoulders all the way across its stomach. It looks like someone has mummified it. But the stench betrays the fact that no one removed the organs. I keep walking back to church. I don't know where else to go in this city. It has changed quite a lot since they built the dam in Aswan in the 60s. 1960s, to be clear. When I was a boy, the streets I'm walking now would be submerged. Tanta was a clerical town back then. And my father was a priest. I keep walking until I find myself at the water's edge. And I simply turn around. There's just some guy. A white man. Wearing a sweater that hugs the neck and a pair of brownish pants that seem to be made of more of plastic than cotton. It seems contemporary. Maybe a vacationer? No. It's getting stronger. That feeling.
Well, hello there.
Immediately, my most base instincts react with abject fear. I don't know what that was. Its voice pierced through my head, into my soul, almost. He stands, waving. Smiling, but there is nothing behind those eyes. Something else is inhabiting the body of this man. Without even thinking, I take off running in the opposite direction. For me, it's not important where I go, just that I do not stay. The busy streets of Tanta this time of day do not allow for fast traversal. Filled with people and cars, obstructing my way forward as I can hear it. I move in between two houses. I must have cleared at least a kilometer by the time that I come to. And I realize that I hear nothing now. It is quiet for a while. And yet, as soon as I peek out, walk back onto the street, the hairs on the nape of my neck rise as a hand grazes my shoulder.
Don't run!
When he touches my shoulder, I feel myself seize up. His fingers nearly sink through my skin, as if I were putty. As his index finger touches the bare bone of my shoulder, I simply take off running. I run past a university building, heading for any kind of crowded place. Seeing a large group of people near the museum's entrance, I make a beeline. The thing, the man, he doesn't run after me, but every time I look back, he is closer than he was before. I realize that he must not be walking through space. Is he walking through time to move forward? I begin considering the possibility that this thing isn't from here, where this is something else. And as I am about to cross the road, he is in front of me, not saying anything, smiling, toying with me. I, however, was not raised to be a man who does not fight back, so of course I grab a bike, and I slam him above the head with it. Blood trails stain the pavement, painting passive onlookers' faces with confusion and alarm. He collapses, almost. But I don't think I did any meaningful damage. At least the body was rocked by the experience. I cross the street. I'm weaving in between cars. I move with no consideration. For me, these cars are a relatively new concept. I do not respect them in the way I should, perhaps. The Tanta Museum is a large square building with smaller square holes, reminding me more of cardboard than museum and massive gates. The security guards at the door see me running, tell me to stop, but fail miserably in doing so. Anywhere does not appear. An important part of a boarding school education in 19th century Britain is an affinity for boxing. Boxing nowadays has rules. When I grew up, it was more about savagery and preciseness. than scoring points and avoiding. So his square right hook to one man's eye, and a swift kick to the other man's shins, allows me entrance temporarily. The buzzing is getting worse. I hear one of them scream, "God, it must have taken a much more brutal approach than I to getting past the guards." I walk past hundreds of coins from ages past, and anywhere is not there. Instead, the notebook slips out of my pocket and onto the ground. No, not slips. That was a closed pocket. It ends up on the ground. Inanimate, but not without its own will. I pick up the book. I suppose my intention was to open it away from me. My intention was to open it in such a way to direct it away from me. Once again, as the thing nearly blinks into my vicinity, I hold up the open book to it, forcing it to read. There is no museum now. Instead, I am standing in a field. A wheat field. I don't know when I am. I am at least safe. I am also extremely lucky that I did not end up in space.